Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said then to him, "Who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us, what do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' And I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him.' And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, John was standing, the two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Well, our main verse last Sunday was John chapter 1, verse 14, that simply says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And we're going to see that verse in its fullness carried out throughout the Gospel of John. Well, today in this particular section, it's about John the Baptist and him giving testimony and bearing witness to his who he is and what his purpose is, and to give testimony about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Again, we've been told already in verse 14 that he is God. He's the God-man. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so John the Baptist is being asked this question, "Who are you?" And he was asked that twice. He was asked that in verse 19. He was asked again in verse 22. And so those priests and Levites who had been sent from Jerusalem, they were sent from the Pharisees to check him out and to see what was going on and to try to get a handle on who he is and what he's doing, and sent them to find out and then come back to them and report back to them. Well, first of all, I want you to notice that John the Baptist's testimony, first of all, he's told them who he is not. Again, when they asked that question in 19, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ. And so they ask again then, are you Elijah? And he said, no, I'm not him either. Are you the prophet? Again, he answered, no, I'm not him either. And so that's why in verse 22, they ask him a second time, then who are you? And we need to know, they said, because we need to give an answer to those who sent us. So what do you say about yourself? If you're not the Christ, if you're not Elijah, if you're not the prophet, then who are you? Tell us about yourself. Who are you? Why are you here? What are you up to? What are you doing? We've been sent to find out, and we're going to have to go back and give an answer to the Pharisees who gave us this assignment. And so we need to get to the bottom of this. Tell us, who are you? Well, he begins to answer them in verse 23. He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. Well, let's turn back for just a moment to Isaiah the prophet, chapter number 40. And this is, again, the prophecy of Isaiah as God inspired him to write it and communicate it. And he prophesied that there would be one who would be going ahead of Jesus. And he would be a voice. Well, let's just read it, verse 3. A voice is calling, Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert highway for our God. And if you read on down through those first 11 verses, well, it starts out by saying, comfort, oh, comfort my people. And I don't know how much you know about the book of Isaiah, but the book of Isaiah has 66 chapters in it. That equals the number of books that are in the Bible. We have 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. And so the first 39 chapters of Isaiah have a lot to do with Old Testament information and history and things like that. And when we come to chapter 40 and throughout the rest of the book of Isaiah, he's now going to give some prophecy about what we read on the pages in the New Testament, especially concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins with that verse 3, that there would be a forerunner to him who would bear witness of him and who would make smooth in the desert a highway for our God, who would clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Drop down to verse 9, and I'll read 9 through 11. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Well, let me just stop there and say, we know that the first four books of the New Testament are about the gospel, and that is good news, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. And again, John 1:14 says that clearly. Here is your God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with you and his recompense before you. Like a shepherd, he will tend to his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. And we know one of the things that the Lord Jesus said about himself is, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We'll turn over quickly in Isaiah to chapter number 53, and this way we won't have to come back to it later. But nonetheless, if you read chapter 53, it's about the suffering servant. And it talks a lot in this chapter about, well, let me just pick it up at verse 5. See who you think this is about. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Jump over to verse 10. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offering. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death. Well, obviously, this is a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah was inspired of God to write about these things, not only about Christ who would be the suffering servant, but about the one who would be the forerunner to him, pointing others to him, that being John the Baptist. Well, let's go back now to John chapter 1. And this is the testimony of John the Baptist concerning who he is. And he says, I'm that voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. So John the Baptist knew the book of Isaiah. He knew the prophecy of Isaiah. He even tells them chapter and verse and says, you want to know who I am? This is who I am. Verse 24. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, why then are you baptizing, if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And so John answered and said to them, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. Well, obviously, they did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not know that he was God who had come in the flesh. Even back to John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, especially 12, tells us that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. And the Pharisees and the priests and the Levites were among those that that verse was speaking of. And so John goes on to tell them, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, and the thong of his sandal I'm not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So John gets around to sharing his testimony and answering the question concerning who he is. He started out by saying, I'm not Christ, I'm not Elijah, I'm not the prophet, but here's who I am. I'm that voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said I would be. Well, drop down to verse 29 and following. So the next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So John the Baptist knew, obviously, not only chapter 40 in Isaiah, but he also knew about Isaiah 53. He knew about the suffering servant. He knew about Christ, the Word who became flesh, would also be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He would be our Passover Lamb. He would be the sacrificial Lamb that had to pay for and atone for the sins of his people. And so he identifies him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, another thing we should draw from this verse is that the Lord Jesus Christ, being the Lamb of God, is the only solution to the sin problem. There's no other solution. That's why Jesus made the statement, and eventually, Lord willing, we'll get to it in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life, but no one comes to the Father but by me. He knew, and we should know too, that he is his life, death, shed blood, and resurrection is the only solution to the sin problem of man, woman, boy, or girl. The only way we can be forgiven is to be born again of his spirit, believing and trusting in him and him alone, his life, death, shed blood, and resurrection, plus nothing else for our forgiveness and life everlasting. And he is the all-sufficient sacrifice for sin. Who he is and what he did by his life and death and resurrection gets the job done concerning our salvation and our forgiveness, but nothing else gets the job done. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so sinners in every tongue and tribe and nation who believe in him are indeed forgiven. Look at verse 30. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. And John even makes part of his testimony and witness, pointing others to Christ and pointing these to Christ and saying, he existed before me. He has a higher rank than I. I'm just this voice crying in the wilderness. But he is not only the Lamb of God, but he's going to say of him in verse 34, he's also the Son of God. Well, verse 31, and I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John bore witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him, and I did not recognize him. But he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and bore witness that this is the Son of God. So again, John the Baptist not only tells him who he is not and who he is, but he also now is giving testimony about who Jesus is. He's the Lamb of God. He's the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. He is the Son of God. He is the chosen one, the anointed one, the Messiah who has been sent to accomplish the salvation, what's needed for the accomplishment of the salvation of the people of God. Well, this particular passage does not tell us clearly, or at least it doesn't me, that John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And I wondered why that was not here, because I had heard and have heard for a long, long time that John the Baptist did baptize Jesus, and that was to acknowledge the beginning of his earthly ministry. But we don't read that here. But our Westminster Confession of Faith, again, chapter 1 about the scriptures, tell us very clearly that if things are not that clear to you in one part of the Bible, keep searching the other parts of the Bible, and then you will find that there are other places that make it more clear, because the Bible is its own best interpreter. And so let's exercise that principle this morning and turn back to Matthew with me. Matthew chapter number 3. And in these 17 verses in Matthew chapter 3, we get a fuller picture of what John the Baptist was talking about in John chapter 1 about the Spirit of God descending upon him as a dove. And that's how John the Baptist knew this is the Son of God. Well, Matthew chapter 3, pick it up in verse 1. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So again, we have that same verse quoted in Matthew that John the Baptist made reference to in John chapter 1. Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Now, I'd also heard stories about John the Baptist and him being a little bit weird. Well, wild honey, I can deal with that. I like that. I enjoy that. But eating locusts, I don't think so. That would not be my cup of tea. And there's a term for this other kind of highfalutin food that a lot of wealthy folks eat. I don't even know the name of it now, but it has something to do with snails. What's that called? Escargot. I've never had any, don't care for any. And if you have some, don't feel like you need to share it with me because I wouldn't eat it. But John the Baptist, he liked locusts and wild honey. Now, maybe if you dumped enough of that wild honey on those locusts, it'd go down okay. I don't know. But I don't think I'd want to try that. Anyway, he was that kind of character. And he had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And so to say it in as nice a way as I guess we could, he was a little different. And we all have our differences. Each one of us is unique. Well, certainly he was. But this is how Matthew describes him in his gospel. Verse 5, then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district about the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you in water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not even fit to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill righteousness. Then he permitted him, and after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So John the Baptist did indeed baptize the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what happened when that happened. And that's why back now to John chapter 1, that's why John the Baptist gives this testimony about him. And he said again, I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say, and I have seen and bear witness, this is the Son of God. So John the Baptist was not only the forerunner making straight the way of the Lord, but he now knows not only is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that he is indeed the suffering servant, that he is indeed the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit, but he is indeed the Son of God. So now, verse 35. Again, the next day, now this is the third day. The first day, the questions, who are you, who are you? The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him, called him the Lamb of God, etc. Now, another day, the next day, John was standing and two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples, now these disciples, by the way, were the disciples of John the Baptist. And when they heard John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God," as they saw Jesus walking, these two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" Now, this term rabbi, we'll see that time and time again in the scriptures. Many will say that of Jesus or use that term as they speak with him. It's a term that means teacher. And so he said to them, come and you'll see. They came, therefore, and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, and it was about the 10th hour. So the conclusion I draw from this text concerning John the Baptist, his testimony is simply this: I am the one that Isaiah the prophet wrote about and told about. And my purpose is to point people to Jesus, because he's the Christ. He's God in the flesh who has come to dwell among us. And that is exactly what I'm doing. Let's bow our heads for just a moment of prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it says and what it has said to us this morning concerning John the Baptist and the witness that he gave, answering the question who he is, who he's not, but who he is, and that his purpose is to point others to you. And Lord, we'll see more of that, Lord willing, next Lord's Day, with others inviting people to come to you, Lord Jesus. And we see that taking place. And we are excited to hear more about you and your ministry on earth as we continue in the Gospel of John. We pray, Lord, that you would give us a hunger and thirst to know more about you and to learn all that we can from the Gospel of John about you and why it is that you came into the world and what it was that you accomplished. And so we confess this morning, we love you because you first loved us. We pray that you'd cause our love for you and others to grow more and more throughout this year, and especially as we deal with the things we see and read and hear about in the Gospel of John, the book of Romans, and the other books that we will work through for our spiritual growth and development in this new year. All this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.